children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages of mental health issues, including addictions and school issues. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, a rehab, a school, whatever it is that we can help you with, feel free to give us a call. You can call anonymously. You can describe your situation, and we will try and connect you to the right place, the right party, the right therapist that could help yourself or your family members. If Mass can't help you, we will get you to another organization that possibly can. So pick up a phone, call us, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 718-758-0400. All our calls are confidential. Again, I am going to repeat the number in case it's for your neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Please write down our number, 718-758-0400. And just for those people that are struggling with the opioid crisis, if your loved one possibly is on opioids and you are around that person, you can help save a life by having naloxone, another form of Narcan, in your home, in your synagogue, in your place of prayer. If you want to be trained and get a free naloxone kit, we can even come to your home. We could arrange for somebody to come actually to wherever you are, your place of work, your home, but we can tell you where you can go to get a quick training where you can possibly save a life. So give us a call. Maybe it's for a neighbor. So hope you give them our number so that we can try and help families that are struggling and help, hopefully save someone's life. Maybe it's your kid's friends and not your own child. Maybe somebody outside that you see passes out. There are no side effects. You can, you know, administer the naloxone through the nose. It's a pump that you administer through the nose. So this way, if somebody, and you're not sure it's opioids, you can do it anyway. And this way you can help save their lives possibly. So tonight I just am so, so honored, really so honored, to have with us Senator David Carlucci. Welcome, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so honored to have you on the show. The senator is in Rockland County, a member of the Democratic Party. He's a state senator in the 38th District, which actually includes Rockland County, parts of Westchester. And the reason that I wanted to have the senator on, because he serves as chair of Committee of Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities and is a lawmaker in so many different bills. I think it's 130 in New York State, as far as I remember.
Yes, that I've been able to pass into law. Yes, very proud of that.
Absolutely. And in 2019, you passed 36 bills signed into law as a New York senator. So thank you for all you do in the mental health field. And I'm so grateful that in these hard times, I know how busy you are in Albany and with all the corona crisis, I'm so appreciative that you made the time to come on tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all that you do in bringing awareness to this extremely important issue. And I think, you know, right now, particularly in light of the coronavirus, everything else is taking a back seat. But I think it's very important that we focus not only on prevention of spreading the coronavirus, but we also have to focus on people's mental health. As we are looking at canceling events, possibly closing school, having people do distance learning, that isolation is something that's very concerning to me and something that we have to make sure, as we're keeping ourselves healthy with the right hygiene, we also have to safeguard our mental health and make sure that we're prepared mentally for the triumphs that we have in front of us, you know, the hardships that are in front of us dealing with this virus. We have to keep our hands clean, but we also have to make sure our mental health is of the up in the right place.
Right. Senator, you know, with technology and so many things being passed around, we have to be more aware of those that are struggling with anxiety and OCD, that they're struggling even more because of technology and all these things being so available and being told to wash their hands and you know, the cleanliness, the hygiene. So for those that are struggling with OCD, it's even more of a struggle. So let's be very aware and careful about what we share to family members, neighbors, friends on technology, with technology, that are struggling, not to, you know, add to their pain, emotional, mental, and physical pain because of their own anxiety and OCD all through their lives. So thank you for bringing that up. So it was wonderful sitting with you, Senator, at the meeting that LSA and Interboro had on the opioid crisis here in Brooklyn. We sat together with so many, different mental health professionals. So thank you for coming to Brooklyn and sitting and discussing this crisis with us as well. You're one of three chairs of the Senate's Joint Task Force on Opioids and Addiction and Overdose Prevention. Can I ask the Senator, please, to give us a quick summary of the highlights from, you know, the hearings, roundtables around the state, please?
Yeah, no, thank you. And it's been a real honor to serve as a co-chair of the Addiction Task Force for the New York State Senate. And that has led us to have meetings, roundtables. We walk through in different locations to really try to understand more about addiction in New York State and throughout the country. So we've traveled the state, even into Canada, to see what works, what doesn't work. And there's many things that we have to do. And we put together a report on our findings, and we have to pass legislation that has policy really keep up with what we're dealing with in the 21st century. But ultimately, one of the major problems, ultimately, that I see we face when we talk about addiction is the stigma attached. And I think we have to recognize first and foremost that addiction is not a moral failure, that addiction is a disease. And we have to make sure that in our medical profession, in our healthcare system, and in society, that we treat addiction for what it is. It is a disease, and it needs to be treated just like we would treat diabetes or we would treat heart disease. And unfortunately, I see more and more when I get into the depths of our healthcare system that some of our most highly trained medical professionals still have a stigma attached to addiction. And that's wrong. And many times people don't even recognize that they have this stigma, but it's there. And I think ultimately that's what your show does, and I know that's what you are 100% behind, is making sure that we uncover, you know, that mask, if you will, that is there, and we say, hey, you know, this can happen to any of us, and it does. And we have to recognize that and fight the stigma wherever it exists. You know, one of the things that I'm working on is to create a 3-digit hotline so that if someone is in crisis, that they dial 988, just like we have 911 for a medical emergency, that if you have a mental health emergency, that you dial 988. Why is that important? because I believe that whether you grow up in Brooklyn or you grow up in Muncie or in Buffalo or in Kalamazoo, that you know that if you're in crisis, you can call 988. The Federal Communications Commission has cleared the way to allow for us to use 988, but unfortunately they're dragging their feet and saying it'll take a couple years before we can onboard this system. We have the infrastructure in place. We have a suicide hotline, suicide addiction hotline right now, a national hotline. It's a 10-digit number. We have the call centers in place and professionals to be able to answer the line in New York State. So I have legislation. We've passed it through committee last week, and I'm hopeful that we can just flip the switch, and you can still call the 10-digit suicide hotline, but you would also be able to dial 988, and we could do that today. We don't have to wait. So I'm hopeful that my legislation passes so that it requires our phone carriers to allow people to dial that hotline. And I think it's important because it helps fight the stigma. It helps people recognize that this is a serious, important issue, and that you can dial this 3-digit number and you can get the help that you need and deserve. You know, every day in the United States, 123 people commit suicide. And that's a tragedy. And that's something that it doesn't happen in just one community. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, what religion you are, what race you are. It impacts everyone. And we see suicide and also addiction tightly linked. And that's why we have to do everything we can to fight the stigma and give people every opportunity to get the help that they need to fully recover and live an independent, productive life.
Yeah, and that is why MASC puts out ads, and we have a 3-step ad I want to share with everyone. We're working towards stigma-free with hope and understanding, number one. Educate yourself and your family and your friends. Number two, raise awareness, make a difference. And number C, see the person, not the illness. So those are our 3 steps that we go out and try and share with the communities and schools.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Senator, the opiate problem, has it gotten worse in New York State?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it has gotten worse. I think it's possibly, we could say, maybe it's stabilizing, but I think it's of crisis levels. We have in New York State, every couple of hours, someone dies from an overdose, and the majority of those are opioid overdoses. So we've seen the numbers, and the people will put out reports to say, oh, the number of deaths has declined. Well, it's still of a crisis level. Last year, 70,000 people lost their life to addiction. In Rockland County, where I live, we've beaten all the records for people that die from an addiction overdose. And opioids are obviously leading the way. So it's still of crisis levels. Unfortunately, what I often feel is that we talk about it, but people have become numb to this issue. We have to do everything we can. I say that, you know, just like we're talking about coronavirus, we should be talking about addiction. You know, more people are dying from addiction than obviously from coronavirus. Obviously, we have to take precautions with coronavirus, and we should do that. But if we put the same type of attention and priority towards fighting addiction, we would be able to make tremendous progress. But I think still there's this idea that, oh, it doesn't happen to me, not in my family, not in my community. And the reality is it happens everywhere. So
sure
this is
does.
A serious problem. It's still of an epidemic proportion, but yet it doesn't get the attention that it needs and deserves. That's why I'm grateful to organizations like yours and your unwavering commitment to talk about this wherever you can. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator. People meet me on the street and they say, really? People are dying? They don't hear enough about it.
Yep.
And there are hundreds and hundreds of people that are dying in the religious community, from kids, young adults, married people, wives, husbands that have been addicted and nobody, you know, it's not out there, so they don't realize. But I'm telling you, and other organizations could share, that there are hundreds and hundreds of young people that are dying from opiate overdose. It is a very serious problem. And you know, Senator, we just started our 23rd year that I started MASK.
Wow.
And
wow.
Over 100,000 families have attended our programs and have already and call in on our MASK helpline. And I could just tell you, people still don't think that there's such a big problem out there. And that is why
agree.
We put in full-page ads. We are putting in everywhere to let people know that, yes, there is an opioid crisis out there, and we need to make the awareness. We need to work towards stigma-free. In the last 2 years, MASK has never had so many clients calling about anxiety. It's just so much anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, depression. Over the years, it was more drugs and alcohol, and now there's so much of both that we really need to work towards stigma-free, and we didn't go early on to therapists, to doctors, to evaluate and assess when kids are in elementary school that are struggling so that it doesn't turn into a self-medicating issue, whether it's with drugs or alcohol, once they get a little bit older. So, yeah, stigma-free. Let's all take an oath. Let's take the pledge that we will work towards stigma-free and talk about it. Talk about it with somebody. So, yeah, let's move on to, I know you sponsored a bill, the S6694, that calls for a work group to study the ambulatory patient group rates and commercial insurance rates for behavioral health services. Why was this necessary?
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds complicated, but really, at the end of the day, when we talk about the ambulatory patient group rates, really all that is making sure that the rates that the state is basically paying to providers provide treatment, that they're keeping up with the times. What we've found is that those rates haven't changed in years. And that means that there's little incentive or ability for providers that are providing substance abuse treatment. It's hard for them to keep their doors open. And it's hard for an organization or a nonprofit to start providing these services because the reimbursement rates just have not kept up. So the legislation that I put forward is trying to find that middle ground where we can adequately address where there's a big lack of need or there's a big lack of services and there is a need, but where services are just not being provided. Why? Because financially it doesn't work out. And of course, you know, we say, well, finances shouldn't be the issue. Well, the reality is, how do you keep the lights on? How do you pay the rent? And how do you pay your employees so they can take care of their families? And how do you buy medications such as medical assisted treatment options when you're not being reimbursed to pay those simple bills? So this is like one of those issues where it sounds complicated. It's really not. It's really the basics, the fundamentals, where the rubber hits the road and says, hey, if we want more services, we're going to have to pay for them. And I'm not talking about big expenses. We're talking about simple services that should be provided in every corner of the state, but yet aren't. And so that's why this legislation is important, to have professionals working with the Department of Health, working with the Centers for Medicaid Services, so that as we are providing these services, that we're doing them adequately and we're providing for the right level of reimbursement. We all know we pay our utility bills, right? Our electric bill, our gas bill, our water bill, our rent, our property taxes. There's not one person listening to this show that could say over the past 20 years that those bills have not increased, right? We've all seen it. So you cannot be a provider and not witness and see that your bills are going up. So that's the idea, whether it's complicated issues of having the right mental health professional and paying them adequately, or it's as simple as paying your utility bill and paying the right level of reimbursement. So that's what this is about, really making sure that we can add that financial incentive to have more providers providing the services that we know we desperately need in New York State.
Senator, I know, say, clinics they can't keep the doors open. I know by mask, we are having a very difficult time securing funds to do our radio show. And we may have to stop the radio show, and that's why we are asking people to go online to maskparents.org, make a donation so that we can still sponsor these radio shows and put the information out there because funding is getting cut everywhere. So, yeah, we need help, and we're a small organization, and I could just imagine what other organizations are going through at these times. We do need the help. So I'm actually asking everyone, please go online. We don't always ask. We are asking, please, if you want us to continue these important radio shows, please donate online, small amount, large amount, whatever you can. Every week that we, do the show, we help families with offering information. So let's try and keep them going. And it is maskparents.org. You could donate online. You can call the Mask Helpline to make a donation. So, Senator, I want to ask you also, being the chair of the New York State Standing Committee on the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities, can you give my listeners a brief summary of the work that's being done in this important committee, please?
Oh, yeah. Well, we cover all topics dealing with mental health and developmental disabilities, from addiction to eating disorders, to suicide prevention, to helping make sure that people with developmental disabilities have the right care and services provided to them. And a big part of what we're focused on is making sure, like we've talked about, that we have the resources to provide for some of our most vulnerable populations. And I've been in this role, I've traveled around the country, and I've met with other lawmakers on the state level. And what I recognize is that as we do have our challenges here in New York State, we are still head and shoulders above almost every other state when it comes to the level of care that we give to our most vulnerable populations. And it reminds me that we call ourselves the Empire State. We say, hey, we are the Empire State, and we say that for a reason, that we value providing to our most vulnerable populations, and that we always have to be one step ahead, that the challenges that our nation faces, we see them first in New York State. Because we have 19 million people from every corner of the globe, every culture represented here in New York State, we're the first to see the challenges. And we work together to find a way forward, and that's what makes us a strong community, a strong economy, and a great place to live, to raise a family, and that's why we can call ourselves the Empire State. So what I say in the Mental Health Committee is that we are on the front lines, that we will not wait for the federal government, we will not wait for another state, that we are taking action and doing the things that need to get done to be really the trailblazers that other states and other governments are looking toward. So we have a big issue, unfortunately, with suicide. And we just had a doctor come up and present to the Mental Health Committee yesterday on her findings in regards to suicidal ideations. And the idea that, unfortunately, we've seen the level of suicides in New York State and around the country, but what we've seen also is an increase in suicidal thoughts. And that relates to so many things. Now, I guess really, I know our time is limited, so I think one of the big things that we're looking at is whether it's adverse childhood experiences, whether it's something like eating disorders, or it's suicidal thoughts, that we need to develop the right type of curriculum, the right type of protocol to make sure that our pediatricians And also our schools are doing the right level of screening, that the earlier we can get to a child and we can notice that they have some sort of disability, if you will, whether it's an eating disorder or it's a mental health issue, that if we can address that earlier, because many times people just don't know. You could be living with this issue and you don't know yourself, and your family doesn't know. And it's not because they don't care, it's because they just don't understand. And so the more that we can have our young people in front of a pediatrician that understands the signs and can do just a small screening to identify people earlier, that can mean the world of difference. Because there are strategies, there are techniques, there are resources to help people fully recover and manage the problems that they're having. But if we wait to diagnose someone later in life, that becomes far more challenging. So I'm the biggest proponent you will find of early education, of making sure that we have universal pre-kindergarten for every child. And I'd like to see that start at 3 years old, making sure that parents have access to child care subsidies so that every child, no matter how much money you have in your pocket, could have access to the right type of child care. And you'll see in the work that I've done that I value education all the way through college, but I think the most important is that early education, that early intervention, that if we can have a professional, a mental health professional, in front of a young child at a young age, just to make sure that they're on the right track, that can make a world of difference. So in many of the things that I'm doing, whether it's all these different issues, that early intervention, that early education is just so fundamental. And I hope that we can get to a day where every child has access to a mental health professional, that every child has the access to the appropriate pediatrician that can really guide them and see really what's going on. The amount of help that will do to our children, to our families, to society is enormous. And I think many times we in society we have our priorities reversed, that somehow we think that our children are going to make it on their own, and you know, they need the help, they need the professionals, and if we can help them at that young age and build that foundation, they're going to be in a position where they won't really need those remedial help, or they won't be in the criminal justice system if we get to them early and we can get them on the right track.
Absolutely. We're running out of time. So important. We want to thank you for all that you do for all the families out there. And thank you for making the time to come on the show tonight. I know how busy you are. So we
no,
really
thank you so
appreciate
much.
It.
And I'd ask anyone that has questions, you know, we have davidcarlucci.com is my website, and I ask you to go there, and anything you think of, please be in contact with me so we can work as partners to solve these issues. It's davidcarlucci.com, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Senator David Carlucci, and I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight.
Ilu ilu hoti anu mimi chaim hoti anu mimi chaim daye.
Looking for a magnificent Passover close to home? The New Mountain Laurel Resort in the Poconos has all the activities and amenities for the ultimate Pesach experience. You'll enjoy a gourmet cuisine prepared by Reuven Osherovitz and Besser Foods, fabulous tea room, horseback riding, newly renovated spa, gym, game room, tennis, archery, swimming pool with separate swimming hours, Zumba and casino night. There's top entertainment every night of Chalamot, children and teens programming as well. There's something for everyone and nonstop programming for kids and adults. Rabbis Nachum Shiner and Ari Weber are the scholars in residence. The Mount Laurel Resort is completely kosher for Pesach under the OK and use only Hasidic Shechita and his Cholv Yisrael. Private and communal sederim are available. So what are you waiting for? Call the Mount Laurel Resort at 800-935-1758. That's 800-935-1758.